Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And we have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Dr. Russell Blaylock. And Dr. Blaylock is a neurosurgeon, lives in Jackson, Mississippi, practiced for many years. At the present time, he's really spending most of his time researching and writing. And he's written several books. One of them we carry, which we recommend very strongly, is Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills. And it goes into the background of aspartame and MSG. And you really have no idea what you're doing if you're drinking all these diet drinks and other things, because these are very, very toxic substances. But his latest book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, is really my favorite because it's got sections on mercury amalgam fillings, the mercury that they've been putting in our childhood vaccines and poisoning our children for a long, long time. And we've actually have a 4-tape set we'll be putting together that'll cover all of those things. We're going to start going through his book right at the present time. We're going to be talking about Chapter 5 of his book, and that's Other Toxic Metals that You Should Avoid. Dr. Blaylock, thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be here, Stan.
Well, what if we go to Chapter 5? I figure that we've already done the first 4 chapters, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you want to hear those, you can call in and ask for the 4-tape set we have, Dr. Blaylock, and of course you'll want to get the book as well. But let's get into the other toxic metals that are out there that most people really don't understand, really the damage that they can do. So what are they, and what sort of damage will they do?
Well, one of them, of course, is cadmium, which is getting a lot more attention. Unfortunately, for a long time, people paid little attention to cadmium toxicity. But we've seen that, like many of the heavy metals that enter our environment, they produce numerous effects on cell function and therefore affect how our health fares up. Another metal, of course, that most people are aware of is the toxicity of lead. Most people are aware that lead causes a problem with cognition or mental development in small children. But there's much more to the story than that. And then, of course, aluminum, which is getting a lot more attention. At one time, it got a lot of attention because of fears that it's related to Alzheimer's disease. And then it sort of fell out of disfavor, and now there's a lot more interest in it as our research has become more sophisticated, and we're able to look at the Alzheimer brain and Parkinson's disease brain. We see that aluminum may very well be playing a major role in that area. And what we find with all of these metals is that most of them are not acting by themselves. Most people that have lead poisoning will have one or more of the other metals elevated as well, and they tend to act synergistically, and that means that the metals tend to increase the toxicity to an extent much greater than if you just added their toxicity. I always tell people it's like instead of 2 and 2 is 4, 2 and 2 is 12, so there's a tremendous magnification of toxicity when you add these metals together in your body.
Well, now, doesn't fluoride actually increase the absorption of lead and of aluminum?
Yeah, and what we see is there's a lot of interaction, not only in terms of these metals increasing absorption and through the intestines, but also into the brain. For instance, when you combine fluoride with aluminum, the brain levels of both metals increase dramatically. Sometimes it's just a matter of a simple thing like putting a little lemon in your tea will dramatically increase the absorption of aluminum because of the citric acid. And this can be as much as a 11-fold increase in aluminum absorption, but it also dramatically increases the amount of aluminum deposited in the brain. So So these metals do indeed increase absorption into the gut and into the brain.
Well, now, how do we get aluminum in our diet?
Well, aluminum, unfortunately, is becoming one of those ubiquitous toxic metals. What we're doing is we're using it for cooking utensils, for instance, is one of the major sources you'll see. But for years, they put it in antacids, and they still put it in a lot of antacids. And for many, many years, it was taught that this aluminum is not absorbed from the antacid. Now we know that's not true at all, that a considerable amount of that aluminum is absorbed, particularly under certain conditions. For instance, again, if you're eating things with citric acid in it and taking an antacid, it'll dramatically increase the absorption of that aluminum in the antacid. People know it as aluminum hydroxide gel. Also, it's in a lot of medications. You'll see it in vaccines. You'll see it in prescription medications, over-the-counter medications. So there's numerous sources of aluminum in our environment.
Now, what about some of these colloidal minerals? You know, I wanted to check out what they were in, all these colloidal minerals people are taking, and they claim that they feel better, but I noticed it's not just that there's a trace of aluminum, as there is with most of the metals, but sometimes that's a dominant thing in the colloidal minerals.
Well, I've always worried about the colloidal minerals when they first hit the market, because if you look at the list of metals in there, you can see everything from lead and mercury and aluminum and cadmium, and some of them even have traces of radioactive elements. So I worry about these colloidal minerals. Of course, their big selling point is absorption, but you're also significantly increasing the absorption of these toxic metals as well. And as I gave in the introduction, when you absorb toxic metals in combination, they're much more toxic. So that's another big problem with colloidal minerals. I would caution people to avoid the colloidal minerals.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a couple of moments with Dr. Russell Blaylock. And, of course, if you have a question, why, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. His book, Health Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and, of course, it's available through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And I think you'll find it a fascinating, fascinating book, especially on the fluoride and mercury, which we're not going to get into too much. But of course, if you want to get more details on that, we'll need the book and the four tape set where it's beautifully covered. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to tell you about a couple of products. One of them is something called Alamax, and it's actually pure allicin. It's the active ingredient that you'll find in garlic, and if you take it, why, at least garlic has been shown to lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol levels. But most important, the reason I take Alamax is because of certain studies that have been done over in Great Britain that suggest that if you take this garlic product, and this is all it is the molecule of allicin that you find in garlic, that it'll tend to decrease the incidence of colds cut down the incidence of colds and flu symptoms about 50% in Great Britain. So I've been taking it for the last 4 months, and overall I'd say I've been doing a lot better than most of the people around me, and I'm 74. So I think it's a good product, and you can get it by calling 1-866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. And then the Royal Jelly products, we've actually taken these for 8 to 10 years, both my wife and myself. And this is what, of course, the queen bee actually eats in the beehive. And she lives to be 6 years, and the rest of the poor bees live to be about 6 weeks old. It's a food product, and yet it seems to have a dramatic effect on making people feel better. If you're fatigued, if you feel tired all the time, and you need that extra lift, why, here's a natural food that can help you. The telephone number, 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. And just ask about Royal Jelly products. And then again, for Alamax, it's 866-405-4000. 866-405-4000. And if you can't get those, why, give us a call here at the studio at 888-24-LIBERTY and we'll tell you more about Royal Jelly and about Alamax products. This is a fascinating four-tape set. genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's a neurosurgeon from Jackson, Mississippi, but of course he's spending full time now researching and really providing us with the information that you need to know. And of course the book is subtitled Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And basically, of course, the beauty of this book is all the scientific studies are on the listed in the back. And there's so many of these scientific studies published in peer-reviewed journals. But, of course, your doctor isn't hearing about it, and your dentist isn't hearing about it. All they hear about are the pharmaceutical drugs that cost so much money. And, of course, the pharmacist and the drug companies just love this. But, of course, there are things that you can take that are not so expensive, and many times, of course, will be very beneficial. And, unfortunately, some of the things we are taking can be extremely, extremely harmful for us. So we've been talking about certainly the toxic metals that really, of course, can be so dangerous. And one of them we mentioned was lead, and certainly that'll produce a peripheral neuritis. And what does it do to the child's brain, Russell?
Well, the thing that lead tends to do is it poisons a lot of the enzymes that the brain uses to produce its communicating chemicals. These communicating chemicals called neurotransmitters are the way that the brain talks to itself and informs different parts of the brain what function needs to be taking place. Lead is a very powerful poison for those different transmitters. For instance, we've known from numerous studies that it'll inhibit acetylcholine, glutamate, dopamine, what's called the GABAergic system, which controls the brain, keeps it from being overreactive. When you have these sort of defects in the developing brain, it's particularly damaging because then the child never learns the things that they need to learn for life in the first place. In other words, they have difficulty ever acquiring the skills of learning and memory that are required for a normal functioning brain, so it's quite devastating to a small child. Early studies were focused primarily on very large doses of lead as a cause of this problem, but as the neurotoxicologists began to look at it, they found that actually very low concentrations of lead were sufficient to cause these severe neurological problems in children, particularly with memory and learning. So the levels as low as 10 micrograms is enough to produce severe neurological learning difficulties. Part of this is due to the fact that lead acts as a calcium blocking substance and interferes with the brain's glutamate system, which plays a big part in children's brain development and the function of the brain as well. So this lead is interfering some of these major biochemical processes that take place in children's brains. And as you said, one of the frightening things that was discovered is that when you fluoridate a community's water, it doubles the amount of lead in the children that are living in that community. And that's because the fluoride, being a very reactive chemical, draws or leaches the lead out of the pipe fixtures and deposits in the water. And then you get these high absorptions of lead in these children's brain. One of the things that's also known about lead in children is it produces intense violence and aggressiveness in those children. When they did some of the large studies in schools, they found that children that had the highest lead levels also had the highest aggressive scores and scores for violence and history of violent behavior in the school. They also found on their tests it increased anxiety, withdrawal, depression, suicide scores, inattentiveness, memory problems. So there was numerous major behavioral problems occurring in these children. And when they treated the children and removed the lead, if they did it early enough, most of these children improved rather substantially. But the key thing is that you've got to remove the lead before permanent damage takes place.
Well, now, where are the children getting the lead? Of course, we always talk about the lead paint, things like that. But what are the other sources of lead in our environment?
Yeah, other than the paint, one of the major sources used to be leaded gasoline. Produced a vapor, and it deposited in the dust in the soil, and every time the dust was stirred up, when you breathe it, you'd absorb a considerable amount of the lead through your lungs, as well as some of it that was swallowed. Unfortunately, a lot of the dust is still saturated with lead, and some recent studies have shown that lead levels tend to rise during the summer when kids are out playing in the yard and stirring up the dust, and the lead levels tend to fall in the winter when they're inside more. So there's still a considerable amount of lead in the soil. But they can get it from all sorts of sources. Sometimes they can get it through different things that they eat. Different foods can have lead contamination in it. For instance, if cattle are being grazed in areas that have high lead in the soil, it'll deposit in the cattle, and then if you eat it, you'll end up with higher lead levels. But one of the major real culprits here, of course, is the fluoridation of the water. It tends to cause a substantial increase in lead in everybody living in that community.
Just because the fluoride leaches the lead out of the fixtures and other... will it take it out of the solder if you have soldered pipes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think this is what people don't know. And all these scientific studies are out there, and the average doctor has never heard of them. And that's why this information is so vitally important. You need to get it, and you need to get it to your doctor and dentist, who are being hoodwinked by the medical organizations that have, for some reason, a vested interest in not letting the physicians know what's really going on as far as water fluoridation. Certainly one of the most dangerous things going on in our society today. And if you want more information on that, you need to get the book. Or we have a 4-tape set on water fluoridation, other material as well. Now, what about the relationship between aluminum and ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's dementia?
Well, one of the interesting things as they began to study the effect of aluminum on the brain is they found that it also tended to poison a lot of these enzymes in brain cells that were critical for brain metabolism and some of the neurotransmitters, but it also tended to poison a lot of the protective enzymes in the brain that have to do with neutralizing free radicals. So this made the brain a lot more vulnerable to free radical generation. And that was one of the early and certainly profound effects of aluminum in the brain. Recently, what they've discovered is, as they looked at the neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's and Lou Gehrig disease and Alzheimer's, is they discovered that the cells that were being damaged in those parts of the brain had elevated aluminum levels. One of the particular things they found in Parkinson's disease is that the cells that are stained with this black pigment called melanin tended to accumulate aluminum in much higher concentration than other brain cells. And this would account for the Parkinson's disease being higher in people with higher brain aluminum levels. Also in Alzheimer's disease, when they looked at the different pathological lesions in the brain, what they call neurofibrillary tangles, these tangles of microscopic material had high aluminum levels in it. And they found that what the aluminum was doing, it was binding up the process that tended to make normal neurotubules in the brain, which are very essential to brain function. So not only do we have the measures of elevated aluminum in the brain, but now we better understand why it's poisoning these brain cells and that it doesn't take a whole lot of aluminum to do it. We're not talking about massive doses. One of the connections that really alerted neuroscientists to the possibility of it causing Alzheimer's disease, they found that patients that were being dialyzed, a significant number of them, were becoming severely demented. And when they finally solved the mystery, what they found out, they were using tap water to do the dialysis, and that tap water, of course, has aluminum added to it, and these patients were getting very high brain aluminum levels. If they were alerted to it early enough, they could chelate out the aluminum, and they were no longer demented, but a significant number of them had severe dementia, and it produced a lot of the lesions in the brain that looked just like you would see in Alzheimer's disease. So this was a key connection to these neurological disorders like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Same thing with Lou Gehrig disease. When they looked in the spinal cord and they did these careful chemical analysis of the cells that were being destroyed, they found elevated aluminum levels. But interestingly, if you read the other chapters, what you find is they also found elevated mercury levels. So then again, this goes back to the fact that there's usually multiple toxic metals involved in these diseases, not just one.
But of course, will patients respond to chelation, or what about antioxidants and their effect?
Well, they do have a significant effect in slowing down a lot of these diseases. There was a tremendous amount of research showing that in all of these degenerative brain disorders, what you see is a very high level of free radical production in those parts of the brain. And if you could reduce that free radical production and damage, you slowed down the disease considerably. This was shown in Alzheimer's disease. When you added vitamin E and vitamin C, it dramatically slowed the course of the disease. And if you look into free radical research, what they need to do is add a lot more powerful antioxidants, and I think we'll have an even bigger impact on this disorder.
All right, fine. We're going to have to take another break, and when we get back, we'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time, and of course, I'll remind you about some of the other products we carry. Certainly, we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them. We will tell you that many of the people that use them tell us all sorts of wonderful and amazing things that happen, but we can't say anything more than that. We don't know whether these are valid, or people would have gotten well, or sores would have cleared up, or rashes would have gone away without it, but all I can do is suggest if you'd like to try it, we think it's an effective product, and of course, it comes in a soap, a neutralizing soap, a moisturizing soap, but I should say a neutralizer, a gel, and a lotion. And so if you'd like to get any or all of these, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Or ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. If you'd like to just get our brochure on it, we'll be glad to send you and tell you what the producer says, but I can't tell you whether that's accurate or not. All I can do is tell you it's a good product. We use it, and we think an awful lot of people have been benefited by it. And then, of course, if you have children or grandchildren out there who go to government schools, why, you certainly should give serious consideration to having a Phenopoly set. Phenopoly is a program that will teach a child in about 16 hours to begin to read phonetically, to spell phonetically, to pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, it really does help. There are 40 sounds in the English language. There are 12 rules, and once you learn those, why, you can read just like a college graduate. So if you'd like more information, why, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Phenopoly. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And also remember, we carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum that has helped an awful lot of young people get through school with an excellent, excellent education. Give us a call right now. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock. His book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and we, of course, carry it. We think it's an excellent book. You get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we are going through the book. We've actually we'll be putting together a four-tape set on this, but you'll certainly want to get the book because it has all of the references, and you can go up on the Internet or to a medical library and read about all of the scientific studies that, for instance, show how harmful the various forms of mercury that they've been putting in the vaccines. There are 1,500 studies that show that mercury that they've been using as a preservative in the vaccines is harmful. There's at least one study that was put out by Eli Lilly that really didn't prove much of anything, but they used that to justify what they're doing. So one study on one side, 1,500 on the other. And now, of course, they finally said, well, gee, maybe we ought to take that mercury out. But how much harm have we done to the brains of children? As autism has gone from about 2 in 10,000 up to about 1 in 250 now, and those autistic children, their lives are destroyed, and the lives of their families. And, of course, now the Eli Lilly and the other people who have been pushing it have said, oh, shucks, well, maybe there was a mistake, but you can't sue us because, of course, Congress has given us protection. And they have. But, of course, well, we won't get into that right now. I have heard, however, those of you who know what happened when they passed the Office of Homeland Security legislation, why, of course, they snuck in that a little bit, a thing that nobody knew about. Congressman Dan Durden didn't know about it. None of the congressmen and senators voted except for Phil Graham and Dick Armey knew that they'd put in a special provision that Eli Lilly could never be sued through normal channels or any way anybody wanted to sue him. That have to go through all the hoops and jumps and barriers that the federal government puts in the way in the vaccine, a fund that they have before they could do anything. Well, I have heard just this morning from somebody who should know that because of the outrage of the American people calling their congressman, why Congress has said they're going to withdraw that special protection for Eli Lilly so that they will not be responsible that was put in to protect them from the very legitimate suits brought by their gross negligence and the fact that the callous indifference for poisoning children and, of course, the dramatic increase of autism from 2 in 10,000 to 1 in 250. So this is, of course, well, I'm going to get off. You don't want to hear me talk. You want to hear Dr. Russell Blaylock. The next chapter is Chapter 6. Which is the vaccine controversy. But before we get to that, would you just mention what free radicals are and why antioxidants are so beneficial in the diet?
Yeah, basically what a free radical is, it's an unstable ion in the body. Normally you have all these electrons circling in different orbits, and in the outer orbit it has to be filled. If it's not filled, it becomes very reactive. When it becomes reactive like that, we call it a free radical. And what it's doing is anything it touches inside of the cell, it tends to oxidize it or react with it. The danger there is that if it touches the DNA, it damages the DNA of the cell. If it hits various enzymes in the cell, it damages them. So that you can have rather profound destruction of all of these different intricate processes inside of the cell by the production of these free radicals. Now, about 95% of all free radicals are produced in the course of normal cell metabolism. It's just part of life. But your body has this very elaborate system to neutralize these free radicals as soon as they're formed. The problem occurs when either you're producing too many free radicals so that it overwhelms this protective system, or if the protective system is deficient. Usually what we see in the American population is both. We're producing enormous numbers of free radicals, and at the same time we have a very deficient and ineffective antioxidant system.
And that's why vitamin C and vitamin E are so very important in the diet.
Well, what we see is there's numerous types of free radicals. Some are more powerful than others. They react in different parts of the cell. They do different things. We also know that the antioxidant system is a network. It's made of a whole different levels of activity. Some will neutralize one free radical but not another. And so we have to have all of these antioxidants together. The vitamins make up some important antioxidants, We also have things like thiol in our cell, which our main thing would be something like alpha-lipoic acid. We have glutathione in our cell, which is a very powerful antioxidant. We have different metals like magnesium and zinc and selenium. All of these things interact at different levels, and they work together to prevent this free radical damage. Now, the important things about free radicals is what we're finding is free radicals are responsible for a lot of the damage in all sorts of diseases, whether it's hypertension, diabetes, arteriosclerosis, cancer, degenerative brain disorders. The final common event that's going on in the cell is free radical damage, and so that makes the antioxidant defenses very, very important in preventing these diseases from occurring. And so throughout the book, I talk a lot about free radicals and how to increase your free radical defense systems and the importance of working to get this entire network at peak activity.
All right, fine. Well, let's get on into the vaccine controversy. And, you know, of course, certainly the eradication of smallpox is one of the great accomplishments of modern times. And certainly the eradication largely of polio has been very, very beneficial. But there is more to the story than that. So how do you feel about vaccines?
Well, basically, certainly with something like smallpox in the 1700s and 1800s, once the vaccination programs had begun, certainly after 1789 when smallpox vaccine was finally developed, it saved millions of lives. I mean, tens of millions of people were dying worldwide from smallpox. Many of the other epidemics in which we utilize vaccines to reduce the impact of these terrible diseases, there's no question vaccination helped. But then when we look at the whole history, we find out that a lot of these diseases were beginning to reduce in tremendous numbers before the vaccination programs were ever started. For instance, with polio, we found that polio had already decreased something like 60% before the program was started. With measles deaths, we found that they had actually fell 95% before the vaccines were instituted. So many of these diseases were already starting to disappear for several reasons, primarily improved public health, better nutrition. We were seeing these diseases starting to disappear on their own, but the vaccines did help up until that point. Now, the problem we have now is because of this early success, the vaccine promoters are obsessed with the idea that we can just vaccinate people for every known disease, even simple things like chickenpox. If anyone has ever died from it, then we've got to vaccinate the entire population. And of course, the other thing is there's a tremendous amount of money being made in vaccinations. So that is a very powerful impetus on the public health service for them to go out and promote vaccination. For instance, you just see in every community this call to vaccinate all the elderly, and the age of an elderly continues to fall. First it was everybody over age 65. Then it was everybody in 55 and above. Now they're even calling for a flu vaccination of small children. So once these things get started, they generate so much money for the vaccine companies, and these companies with their payoffs and kickbacks influence the politics, and once it gets into the public health service, it becomes a national obsession. And they tend to scare their public to death, thinking that if they don't get the flu shot, they're all going to die of the flu.
And, of course, the flu shots that they've been giving for years have had thimerosal in them, and they've been poisoning the brains of the elderly people and poisoning the brains of the small children, giving them up to 10, 20 times the daily minimum. And, of course, doesn't the mercury have a predilection to go to the brain?
It does, and the form of mercury in the vaccines and thimerosal is ethyl mercury, which is much more soluble and enters the brain in higher concentrations than other forms of mercury, but it's equally toxic to the brain. And the brain being a fatty substance, it's 60% fat, and mercury is a fat-soluble substance, so it tends to accumulate in the brain, and once it's there, it's very difficult to get rid of. The half-life of mercury in the brain is approximately 10 years, and some think it's as long as 30 years. So It would take your entire lifetime to get rid of even half of the mercury in your brain, or get it down to a substantial level. So we've been sold a bill of goods, and unfortunately when you give the elderly vaccines with some aerosol in it, this is when the brain is the weakest, it has its least antioxidant defenses, and so that mercury is going to be a lot more toxic to a person that's age 55 or older than it would be somebody in their 20s. Now, when you get down to a small child, they're also in a very high vulnerable age period. So you're vaccinating the two most vulnerable period of the human lifespan, the very young and the very old, with the greatest amount of mercury toxicity.
And I think that there are really two aspects to this. Number one, you can't take too many vaccines. If you take too many vaccines, it immobilizes your immune system. And I talked to Ken Alibek, who is the number two man in the Soviet biowarfare unit, who defected to the United States. And his remark was, you know, he had taken, I think, 50 vaccination for 53 different diseases. He said, I'm allergic to everything. You vaccinate people for everything, you're going to kill them. And here's a man whose whole life is tied up in vaccines, but they're not telling the American people that. Kids are taking some, I don't know how many vaccine shots, but I would know it's well over 20 at the present time. And now they've got literally hundreds of vaccines. They're spending billions of dollars to develop them. They're going to force them on our children. And they're going to do irreparable harm. The incidence of asthma and autoimmune disease and juvenile diabetes, which is many times can be autoimmune disease, is rising significantly with the increase in vaccination. Are you concerned about these things?
Yes, particularly because, when you start over-vaccinating children, and what people need to realize about vaccines, in order to get the most powerful immune response, what they do is they add what's called an immune adjuvant. And this is a group of substances that cause your immune system to really act powerfully against that injected vaccine. Unfortunately, when you bring your child to the pediatrician's office and they give that child seven different vaccines on that one visit, that's seven doses of this powerful adjuvant, seven doses of mercury, and seven doses of bacteriological agents. And I tell people that's like getting seven different illnesses all at once. Not many of us could stand to have seven different illnesses at once, but they think nothing of giving it to a child.
We're going to have to interrupt you there, Russell. We got to take a quick break. And when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. His book is Must Reading. It's Health and Nutrition Secrets, and we just got in another shipment, and they're going out fast. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope that many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day, Monday through Friday, and then we have our weekend program. And now we're doing another program at another major station here locally. So we do have an outreach, but quite frankly, we need help to continue doing what we're doing and hopefully to expand our coverage so that people can get the truth that you're not going to get from many of our so-called mainline conservatives. And so if you'd like to help and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do 5 hours every day. And so if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, our December newsletter deals with what's happening financially and the occult foundation of America's monetary system. And you say, occult foundation? What are you talking about? Well, get the newsletter. If you haven't had one before, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge if you just call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we ask you to go to our website at radioliberty.com to tell others about our website, where you can hear our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day and not get anything accomplished, of course, or where you can pull down our newsletters or other things we've written. And, of course, we encourage you to tell others about the website, tell them about our internet programs, tell them about our programs that are on regular radio. And we'll be back with you in just a moment here with Dr. Russell Blaylock. A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is Dr. Russell Blaylock. His book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, it's available by calling 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you have a question or comment, certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And I don't think Dr. Blaylock is suggesting that we shouldn't give any vaccines, but I think he is suggesting that parents better understand what this is all about, and you better not be giving your children thimerosal, which is toxic to the brain and it produces so much damage. And of course, most doctors think that they've removed thimerosal from the vaccines. They're telling the doctors that, they're telling the patients that, but if you look in the PDR that just came out for 2003, or you look on the label of the brochure that comes with the vaccines, you'll find out that they're still putting it in most of our vaccines, and there's certain specific brands of vaccines are still using it. They want to use up the supply. They don't care how much damage is done, so much harm is done, because they can't be sued and you have no recourse. And so if you're concerned about your children, you better learn about everything. You better learn what vaccines are good, what vaccines are bad, and which ones have the thimerosal in them. And you better start reading the slip that comes with your vaccine, because believe me, if your child becomes autistic, there may not be a second chance. No, there are some things, and we'll talk to Dr. Blaylock about what can be done, but of course not through regular methods of treatment. So our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Dr. Blaylock. What can be done for an autistic child? Will chelation help any of these, or are there any herbal or other treatments that seem to be beneficial?
Well, actually, the chelation of mercury seems to be one of the most promising treatments. Several people had advocated that, and they tried it on some autistic children. And as long as you caught them in the early stages, before the changes became permanent, some of these children had dramatic reversals of their autism, returned almost to normal. So the mercury seemed to be playing a major role here. The other thing that is preventive in nature is they should always insist that the vaccines be separated by 6 months, so that you're only giving one vaccine every 6 months, not this group of six or seven vaccines at one time. That tends to dramatically reduce the incidence of autism and the incidence of other complications associated with vaccination. The other thing is we find that nutritional supplementation can reverse a lot of the things associated with autism. There's a group of vitamins which I discuss that promotes brain healing, stimulates the reconnection of these synaptic areas of the brain that do the talking. And we find that if you use these nutritional supplementations, and some of them require higher doses, you can get some significant improvement in some of these children. So these sort of things can be done and tend to make a lot of difference. Now, there's some real innovative things being done for the children with a very advanced autism, particularly that associated with the MMR vaccine. we know that because of live viruses will actually grow in the intestine of these children, and they produce severe defects in the intestinal wall, so they develop all sorts of food allergies and sensitivities. They start absorbing gluten and gliosin, which produces a brain reaction that has a lot to do with the autistic syndrome.
Now, are you talking about the MMR vaccine?
Right, the MMR vaccine. Right. There's virological evidence in the research literature that giving live vaccines is a very, very dangerous thing to do, because what happens is you attenuate these viruses and pass them down through different generations, and they supposedly lose their virulence or ability to cause disease. And what we're finding is that once you inject a live virus in a person, the reverse process can take place, so the virus begins to get more and more virulent. Unfortunately, they've been able to isolate the measles virus from the brains of these children. Even as they become adults, they find the virus in their brain. Some of them develop multiple sclerosis, and they isolate the very genetic identity of that measles vaccine virus in the nervous system of these people with MS. We know that many cases of polio have been spread by using the live polio vaccine. In fact, the parents can develop polio from a child being injected with this live vaccine. And this led to the getting rid of the live polio vaccine. But we know this is true with all the live vaccines. It's much more dangerous than they're telling people. And there's not this assurity that all of this policy is safe. This is a very dangerous thing to do. And we know these viruses can transform and mutate and become viruses that can produce severe neurological diseases or diabetes or all sorts of terrible disorders.
Have you looked into the SV40 that was in the polio vaccine? That they, once they found this cancer-producing virus, it produced cancers in hamsters and many other animals, and they knew it was a cancer-producing virus, and they knew it was in the vaccine, and they were afraid to tell the American people, and then they used up the remaining supplies. Now, I believe it was Merck Company pulled their vaccine, to their credit. They did what was right, and one other company did. And the other two companies that were producing the vaccine, we just want to use it up. We can't waste the money. And so they just get, I don't know how many millions of Americans got other doses of this SV40. Have you looked into that story?
Yeah, that's in the book. I discussed the whole SV40 contamination problem. And the problem was they were using the African green monkey. And they knew at the time that it had been infected with SV40, but they thought that their sterilization technique would kill the virus. And they did not wait long enough to culture this virus out. They went ahead and started putting out the polio vaccine with the SV40 in it. And by the time they realized that their sterilization process was not killing the virus, we had literally millions of people that had been injected in the United States and Canada. Now, the SV40, what that stands for is sarcoma virus 40. And a sarcoma is a malignant tumor of the connective tissue. So they knew it at the time. They knew the medium they were growing the virus was infected with this cancer-causing virus.
And it was basically the kidney of these monkeys, wasn't it?
Right.
Right.
And this was a common procedure that was being used. They also discovered that the HIV, or the simian immune deficiency virus, was also growing in these cultures as well. Some of the modern research in virology is finding what we call stealth viruses. And these viruses can hide in these things completely undetected, completely resistant to your own immune system, and they can mutate into very powerful disease-causing organisms later in life. And it may be that people are being injected with these as vaccines, and 20, 30, 40 years later, they're developing serious neurological disorders or cancer due to these stealth viruses.
So that's the thing is that they're always so anxious to get these vaccines on the market. After all, we've worked on them for, 2 years, and, nobody's had any problem. Now, let's give it to everybody. And that's what they did with the rotavirus, it was for diarrhea. And, of course, devastating results, And instead of working them up and making sure they're safe, they want to get them on the market because there is a financial incentive, and they're really not that concerned about people. That's a big problem. And because we have people in government, and there's a revolving door between the FDA and the industry. And we hear about the military-industrial complex. Nobody wants to talk about the medical-industrial complex. And these people betray the trust of their job so that they'll get a fat job with industry when they leave. And I hate to sound like a Marxist when I say that, but this is the reality of what's gone on. So we really can't trust the government. The only thing you can do is sue the companies, but now they, of course, fixed it so you can't sue the companies. And, of course, then who could you have a comeback? You have no comeback. You are responsible for your children. And, of course, the doctor really doesn't know.
Well, that's exactly true. And the problem, these are usually mega corporations, international corporations, which is not part of the free enterprise system and never was dreamed of be part of the free enterprise system. It's more like a fascist system or corporatism in that you have the corporation working in conjunction with the power of government. Now, that's not the free enterprise system.
It's sure not.
And that's what makes it dangerous, is that they are protecting themselves during all of this process by using the power of the government. And this is exactly what we see in the vaccine program. We know that all these things are true. We know all the research on stealth viruses, contamination of viruses, danger of mercury. No one has ever done any safety studies on vaccines of any worth. Most of the public's not aware that they do not follow vaccine safety after more than 2 or 3 weeks after the vaccine. Now, anybody with any sense would know that if you're going to vaccinate people and there's a question of a problem, you would follow them for years to see what develops. So that they can go out and say, oh, we've studied all the safety profiles of vaccine, we find no harm. But the public doesn't know. Their studies ended at 1 to 2 weeks. So that children with autism may not start to develop a deterioration until a month, 2 months, 6 months later. So that's how the government and this industry union covers this up. They just don't ever look at it. So they can deny it by saying we've studied it, but they really haven't.
Well, we're out of time. We could go on, but we'll, of course, cover a lot of these things when we do our program next. I think it's next week we have a two-hour program. Thank you so much for being with us. And again, the book is Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And I really mean it. This is a book that every one of our listeners should have. God bless you. Thanks so much, Russell.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate it. And God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. And that's Dr. Russell Blaylock, certainly one of my favorite people. And I've met him, 20 years ago. I think it was during the early Reagan years. Ronald Reagan had just become president of the United States. What's that, 22 years ago? So we've known one another for a long time. He's a patriot. He's a fine doctor, and we're indebted to him for this book. So please pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers. Pray for revival in America, because if the American people don't turn back to God, I believe God is going to turn his back on the American people. In fact, I believe he's already withdrawing his protection from this country. And then we ask you to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
He's been over helping. We've just been both putting tapes in boxes.
Okay.